Welcome to the Faith Heights Church audio podcast. We pray that this message will bless you and feed your faith as you listen in today.
Praise God. Amen. Well, is it okay if we dig into the Word for just a few minutes? Is that all right? I even have a timer here, so that way I just don't get preaching too much here. But I was getting pretty excited finishing up studying for today's message. And if you have your Bibles, turn with them to Matthew chapter 2. Kids, are you going to pay attention for the next 15, 20 minutes? Thanks, Sean. Thanks. Matthew 2, verse 7. And I just want to thank everybody for coming this morning. Amen. You know, thank you guys for being here. You know, there's a number of different places you could have gone, even a number of different other churches, but you chose to be here. And I just want to say thank you for showing up, for coming together. And as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, amen, the birth of Jesus. And in fact, we're going to read an account here, I should say part of it. This is talking about the wise men. So Matthew 2, verse 7, and we're going to read through 11. It says, "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men," or some of your Bibles might say the magi, "determined from them what time the star had appeared." And why is he asking them about that? Because what they studied, what they were experts in, was knowing the stars. Amen. And verse 8 says, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.'" We're not going to read it, but what we find out is that's not really what he wanted to do. Do you think the king of that time wanted to give up his kingdom? No. No. Verse 9, "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them." We got a moving star now. The star moved. It went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Amen. "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." That was not exceedingly great joy. You want to know what exceedingly great joy is? Go YouTube, fans going crazy when their team scores the game-winning touchdown. That's exceedingly great joy. But I'm telling you, Jesus did more than score a touchdown. He did more than hit a home run. Come on, he redeemed you from death, hell, and the grave. Come on, how many exceedingly great, joyful people do we have in the place? Amen. Woo! That's good. All right. Amen. Should have the kids in here more often. All right, verse 11. "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So the title of my message today is wise worship. Wise worship. So the word for wise men here are magi. If you look it up in the original Greek, it can mean a few different things. So at worst, this is what it could mean. It could mean fraudulent sorcerers and astrologers. Or at best, it could mean royal counselors and astronomers. See, something you have to realize is back in Jesus' day, or even Bible times, there was a very fine line between astronomy and astrology. See, a lot of people back then didn't just study the stars to be like, "Oh, wow, there's that star, and oh, there's Jupiter." No, they studied them to tell what their future would look like. And, you know, the Bible warns against that. And warns against that. And They were not necessarily kings, and there weren't just probably three of them, but of course that would ruin the beautiful song we sang at the beginning, We Three Kings. So we don't want to ruin the song, so we'll just say that there was three. Actually, there was probably a lot of them. A lot, you know, with their servants, with their camels, and there was a big group of people coming to see this king. The king of the Jews. And based on the gifts that they brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, it shows that these men were very wealthy. Very wealthy. Not only did they bring these gifts, but they supplied the trip for everybody who came with them. Amen. They were very wealthy. So I guess I'll lean with the better interpretation of that they were royal counselors and astronomers, all right? And they probably dabbled a little bit in astrology, just probably, because they weren't Jewish. These were Gentiles, okay? These were Gentiles, amazing, coming to see a king that they didn't even have to. They didn't even send a postcard, all right? They came themselves to see this king. And they caused quite a stir. Even King Herod wanted to see him. I mean, if you're demanding attention from the king of that region, you got to be pretty important, right? So they caused quite a stir. And what I like about this account is the fact that they were Gentiles. You want to know why? Because it's foreshadowing me and you. That it's not just the people close to the king who get access, but people far from the king that get access. Woo! That people were maybe even dabbling things that the Bible said never to dabble in. They got access to the king and arguably maybe worshiped him better and more than the locals. They are foreshadowing you and me. And what is worship? Worship is simply displaying worth to someone or something. They displayed high worth and they placed a high value on Jesus. Isn't that something? People from another place, another land, with another king, they chose to come and worship this king of the Jews. So, with the remaining minutes I have, I want to talk about two gifts. I'm going to leave the third gift for tonight, but I want to talk about the two gifts, gold and frankincense, and they represent reasons as to why we worship God, why we worship Jesus. So the first one is gold. The first one is gold, and what does that represent? He is our king. So the first reason we worship Jesus is because he is our king. Amen. He is our king. When you think gold, what do you think of? Kings, right? Royalty, wealth. And Jesus is called what? The King of Kings. That was kind of weak. This side really got it. This side's sleeping a little bit, so let's try this. He's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So there's no other king above him. There's no government above him. In fact, the government rests on his shoulders. And someday, very, very, very soon, he is restoring this world to his kingdom. Amen. It's happening sooner than we think. And the wise men knew, if we were to back up and read verse 2, they knew, because they studied the heavens, they studied the stars, that this specific star represented the coming of the King of the Jews. Fascinating. And I just want to say this before we move on to the second gift is, your life will be better when you make Jesus the King of your life. I'm not just talking to unbelievers, I'm talking to believers too. Every day we got to make a choice and a decision. Who is sitting on the throne of our hearts? Is it another person? Is it an object? Is it God, or is it even ourselves? Are we ruling and reigning our own lives, or are we allowing Jesus to rule and reign in our lives? I didn't say life would be easy with, because guess what? We still have an enemy out there who hates us, and there's going to be attacks, but it will be better. And if you read the Bible, you will be victorious. I said you will be victorious, because who can come against the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords? And if he's ruling and reigning in your life, there is nothing that can come against you that you cannot overcome. Amen. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going on a trip and I want an experienced pilot. Like if I'm going overseas on an airplane, I want an experienced pilot that knows where to go. I don't want me flying the airplane. I mean, that just sounds crazy, right? Like those of us who aren't pilots getting on an airplane and flying, that's how crazy it sounds when we try to lead our own lives. I'd rather have the person who knows what's ahead leading me than little old me leading me. All right, so what's the second gift? The second gift was what? Frankincense. And what does that gift mean? It means we worship him because he is our high priest. Our high priest. And maybe some of you are like, well, what is that? What does that even mean? What does that even mean? Well, we're not going to turn there, but in Exodus 30, verse 34 through 38, Moses was given instructions by God to make a fragrance with pure frankincense. And this fragrance would burn continually in the temple of God. It was never to run out. It was always to be burned. And only the priest of God could make it, and it was considered holy. Holy. So by giving this gift of frankincense, they are foreshadowing that Jesus would become our new, forever, eternal high priest. There's no more need for another high priest. He's it. He's it. Isn't that amazing? That I don't even know if they knew by giving these gifts what it meant. What it meant. 1 Timothy 2:5. They're going to put it up on the screen, and I'm going to read this one out of the New Living Translation. I like this verse. It says, "For there is one God," and all the Christians said amen. "There is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus." If you read in the book of Revelation, you'll find out that Satan, the devil, what does his name mean? The accuser. He stands before God day and night accusing you, saying everything you've done wrong to God. How many know there's quite a laundry list of things that we've all done wrong? But then there's another person standing at the throne room of God, and his name is Jesus, and he is our high priest. He points to his blood. And he says, yep, they did that, but my blood took it all away. Amen. And because of that blood, he reconciles us. He redeems us. He restores us with rightful standing with God. Whoo! Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that even though that we have a long list of things we've done wrong, all we got to do is do what Jesus does and point to his blood? Because that's what the high priest would do. He would come into the temple and he would have the blood of animals and stuff, and that would cover the people's sins for a year. But guess what? Jesus came and his blood came, and he took his blood into the new temple, and it was a once and for all sacrifice done. Amen. The death he died once. And that's what one of his main job descriptions now is, to be a mediator between you and God, because he reconciled us to him. Whew. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about that we do not have a high priest that does not know our weakness. You know, he knows what it feels like to be you. He knows what it's like to be tempted like you've been tempted. He knows what it's like to feel depressed. He knows what it's like to feel anxious. He knows what it's like to go through this life. Yet the difference between him and us is that he was without sin. Amen. But that doesn't mean he doesn't know what it's like to not be us. He knows what it's like. Amen. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful for that? He knows what it's like to be me and you. And I just want to close with this, that the wise men, the magi, these royal counselors, these astronomers and possibly astrologers, they worship Jesus for what he will be. They worshiped him for what he will be. He would be the king. He would be the high priest. And I want to ask you, do you worship God for what he will be in your life or only for what he has been? Do we worship God for who he will be in our lives and or just for what he has done? Because I'm telling you, God's not through with you. I said, God's not done with you. God's not through with you. Come on, if God did something back then, he's going to do it again. Amen. And maybe that giant didn't look as big as this giant, but no giant's as big as our God. Amen. And that's why we worship him. We remember everything he's done for us, but I'm choosing to put my faith on what he will be. Come on, he is the great I am. That means he will be what you need him to be. When you need him to be it, everything you need, he is. He is. And whether you believe, whether you're a believer or not, we all worship something. We all worship something. Some of us might worship our job. No, we might not admit it. Maybe some of us worship our kids. And we would never come out and say this, right? But we all worship something. I say let's purpose every day to worship the only person who deserves worship, and that's Jesus. Come on. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega, the beginning and the end. And your life will be better when you choose to worship Jesus like the wise men did. Amen. That's called wise worship. Amen. I did pretty good. I got 3 minutes left. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to close in prayer and then give people an opportunity to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So, Father God, we come before you today, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, this day isn't necessarily about gifts. It's not about family, first and foremost. Lord, this day is about you. And, Lord, we choose right now to focus on you. You're the reason for the season, Father God. Jesus, we focus on you right now. And like we said at the beginning, you didn't have to come down. You chose to come to this earth. You chose to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to be tempted in all points as us, to be weak like us. So that way you could redeem us and reconcile us to God the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more information about this ministry, visit faithheights.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. To sow into this ministry, visit faithheights.org and click on the Donate tab.